my case. I left my my lessons in there.
No one remembers the lesson that the verse that we were talking about last week. We worked out of one verse. That's where we started, at least. We went to several, but we were in one. It was in Colossians.
Chapters 3 and 4.
No, it was funny. I said I didn't do it on purpose.
Oh, 7.
All right, Colossians, what 6, 7?
1, 6.
No, it's Colossians 2, 6, and 7. All right. What's the name of our series?
Watered.
No, we did water it already. We planted the seed. We watered the seed. What is the seed starting to do now? It's starting to grow.
Let it grow.
What is it? How do you? What do you do? What do you do? What do you do when you're trying? Huh?
Rooted.
Yeah, it's got to push its roots in. It's got to be rooted. All right. And we talked about a character trait last week. What was the character trait that we talked about? Being what? Character traits that somebody that is rooted in Christ does. Let's read the verse. And then, I'm trying to jog your memory. I ask you to do something. What do you do?
Then do it.
Okay. And if you do it, you are being
good boy.
Good boy. Obedient. Thank you. The character trait of somebody that is faithful or rooted in Christ, is obedient. Someone that is obedient. Hey. What are you doing? Don't throw
stuff. Right.
Why are you throwing your phone, Oliver? Don't.
Because
we
said good boy.
All right. They weren't talking to you. That was just, they're just talking. Keep our comments to ourselves. All right. Correct. So obedience was what we talked about last week. How many remember, you guys, I already asked you, how many of you guys remembered the verse that we were focused on? Let's read the verse. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Who is there? Raise your hand if you're there. You all should be. I gave you plenty of time. Alright? I'll just go ahead and read it. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And the part we focused on of this verse is, so walk ye in him. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. So if you are saved, if you have a personal relationship with Christ Jesus, or the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, it's a command, I guess, so walk ye in him. Which is why we focus on obedience. It's telling you to do something, and it's your job to listen to it. And then it says, rooted and built up in him, and established in faith. And that's kind of where we're going to be focusing today. Rooted and build up in him and establish in faith. Faith. I want to focus on the part of this verse that says establish in faith. Faith. And this is the second character trait that we're going to be looking at this week, which is faithful. Somebody that has a good relationship with Jesus Christ, somebody that is established in their faith and rooted in Jesus Christ, is someone that is faithful. So my question to you guys, how old do you have to be to become a faithful Christian? How old do you have to be to become a faithful Christian?
Depends when you know right and
wrong. There is not really a correct answer. You don't have to be a certain age. You know, yes, when you have a relationship, when you get saved. But there's no age requirement. You can get saved. I mean, people get saved at all walks of life. So you don't have to be a certain age to be a faithful Christian. How many of you guys are familiar with the story of Samuel? 1 Samuel. Or just Samuel. Do you know about the Samuel, you know?
He plays soccer.
He's the one that anointed David. He plays soccer. All right. Go to 1 Samuel for me. I'll do a quick summary of Samuel and how Samuel came to be. So turn to 1 Samuel for me. This is towards the front. We're going from the back of our Bible to the front of our Bible. When you get there, let the others know what page it's on, if you can. Okay, so Samuel's mom was Hannah. Hannah could not bear a child. She could not have a child. And she struggled with this. So she went to the high priest. She went to the high priest and she prayed. And she was like, God, if you give me a child, she vowed to give her child to the Lord. For him to be a servant of the Lord for all of his days. Okay? And then God answered her prayer. So she prayed about something, and God answered her prayer, gave her a child. This is a woman that was so sad because that she couldn't have a kid that she prayed, like, if you give me this, I promise that I will do this for you. So he gives her a child, and Hannah does exactly what she vowed to do. She gives her child to Eli, the priest, that to be his servant, to serve the Lord for all of his days. So Samuel, before he's even born, has his life already kind of planned out for him. He's going to serve under Eli. He's going to be a child of the Lord. And then turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 18 real quick. I have a point on this. That's kind of where I'm headed, but verse 18, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18. It says, "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded up with a linen ephod." Okay? Being a child. And he's ministering before the Lord. Interesting, yes? Okay. Now look at 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 1, and then I'm going to summarize the rest of this chapter, this little tidbit for you. Chapter 3, verse 1. And it says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." Open vision meaning, open vision. Eli is young. He's a child. He's serving the Lord. He goes to bed one night, and he has a series of dreams. So he has a dream. He hears somebody calling out to him, and he wakes up. And he runs to Eli, and he's like, "Hey, you called, you know, I'm here." And Eli's like, "Well, I didn't call you, you know, go back to bed." And then he goes, so it says, "And the Lord called yet again unto Samuel." So he goes back to bed, and the Lord called yet again unto Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I. For thou didst call me," and he answered, "I called not, my son, lie down again." So he does this a couple times, and then he goes to Eli again. And Eli's like, "Okay, something's going on here. He keeps coming back to me in the middle of the night. Surely the Lord must be speaking to this kid." Eli says, "Go lay down again, listen to what you're being told, and then come back and tell me what you hear. Tell me what's said to you." And Eli does. The Lord shares some news with Eli, or with Samuel, tells him that all these things that are going to befall Eli because of the way that his sons are acting, which is not good things. And Samuel wakes up and he goes and he tells Eli all the bad news that the Lord showed him. Knowing it wasn't going to be easy, but he went and he did what he was asked to do. So my point being is, in both those verses, Samuel is a child. He's just a kid. But he's being faithful and ministering to the Lord. It says in both of those, he's ministered unto the Lord. There's no age requirement on you being faithful. As long as you have a relationship with God, then it is your job to be faithful with that. God is going to use us no matter what age we are. All he asks is that we are willing. Like, all you have to do is be willing to do what you're asked to do, to be willing to go, to be willing to share, to be willing to just ask, or to do what God has in your life. That is what it means to be faithful. So David was the smallest of all of his brothers. The littlest, the weakest. We all watched, most of us that were here on Wednesdays, watched the series. He was like the least desirable, they thought, for Samuel when he came for him. So his dad didn't even bring him. He's like, he's not going to want him. I'm just going to bring my older sons, the strongest. But God used David. Why did God use David over all the other brothers? Because he was faithful. He knew that he was going to do what he was asked to do. You see, you don't have to wait until you're older. You don't have to wait until you're an adult. You don't have to wait until you can tell yourself, like, "I'm going to wait. I'll just do that when I get out of high school. Or I'll wait until I'm in high school to start getting more serious. I'll wait until this point in my life to do this." You need to do what God's calling you to do right now, not like pushing it down the road. It's easy for us to say, like, your parents ask you to do something, you're like, "Clean your room. I'll get to it later, after this game, after this, after that." It's easy for us to just keep kicking that can down the road. But you have to understand that, like, Lincoln, Ethan, you guys bring friends. People are watching you. They're observant of the kind of person that you are outside of here on Sundays. So you never know who's watching. Let's go to 1 Timothy 4:12. This should be a familiar verse to all of you. I know, I'm pretty sure it was, we talked about it at camp. We've touched on this verse several times in the last few years. Timothy's in the back of your Bible. For those of you. 1 Timothy. Verse 4. Or chapter 12. Or verse, chapter 4, verse 12. Sorry. 1 Timothy 4, 12. You want to read it? You can read it. Wait until everybody gets there, though. Give me a second. If you're in the new Bible. 1587. Sorry, I thought you were about to read it out. I was going to say Oliver's called this. All right, go ahead.
Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity.
Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. You are to be an example. If you are a believer, you are to be an example. You are to let others know that you are what you say you are. If you claim to be a Christian, you are to be acting it out. And you're like, okay, well, how do I do that? How do I show other people that I believe in Christ? It says right here in the verse, it literally gives you an outline. It says, to be thou an example of the believers in word. What does it mean to be a believer in word? Do you make ideas?
So listen to what you're told.
Listen to what you're told. By the way you talk. Like if you're going to school and cussing or saying vulgar things all the time, words are the things that come out of your mouth. And it's hard for someone to believe that you are what you say you are if you're just spitting cuss words at them, spitting vulgar comments, you know? It says to be an example in conversation. When you talk to other people, can they tell that you are who you say you are, what you claim to be? You claim to be a church kid, but like you're over here dogging or making fun of so-and-so, or you're picking on this person, or you're, again, using vulgar language, using vulgar comments. You know, are your actions and the conversations that you have with others, are those things that show that you are what you say you are? Are you being a good example with those? All right? In charity, what does charity mean to you guys? Anybody? Dang, we just heard some kid rant. It would be somebody yelling outside, right? That kid doesn't know what charity is. He is on a mission, all right?
Charity's
right. Love, yes. What else? You got charity. Go ahead.
Charity is giving something that you don't need to someone that doesn't.
Yeah, giving something to somebody else that does need it. That's very good, actually. It's how you treat others. It's you going around, if you're going around and picking on kids at school, making fun of somebody, being a jerk all the time, like, you're not being a good example. You're not showing others or treating others the way that you want to be treated. You're not showing them what it means to be a believer of Christ, to be a Christian. And then it says in faith. Faith is when things get difficult. When that happens in your life, when things get hard, what do you do? What's your first course, your recourse? What's your first of action? When things are hard, what do you do?
I play soccer.
Hmm?
Play soccer.
To get your mind right? When things get hard, you're just like, I'm just going to go let loose on some soccer. That's good. People do that. They play football.
He's bad.
Hey, man. It doesn't matter. It's an outlet. It doesn't have to be. What does everybody else do? What do you do when stuff gets hard? Like, you get into a difficult situation. Somebody at school or whatever it is. Go ahead.
I ride off into the sunset on my mini bike.
Ride off into the sunset on your mini bike?
Yeah.
Do you cut the cord? Do you just like call it quits? Things get difficult. Parents are asking me to clean my room. I got a ton of homework. I'm struggling at Fortnite right now. I just keep getting, all these bosses keep taking me down. I cannot get a win for the life of me. You're just struggling. Do you just cut the cord? Do you call it quits? You're just like, I give up. I'm done. You know, I'm moving on. I got a new thing. I'm just riding off into the sunset, like Cameron says.
I do what I have to, but if there's something that I don't have to do that early, I just forget about it.
Forget about it.
But Like, so there's homework to do tomorrow. What? Or okay. My mom asked me to do something. But it's like something to do next week. I know I'm just like.
Okay. But I'm talking about like situations in life when they get hard.
Yeah,
things are getting piled up on you, you know? You just get your shoe, just the whole sole. You ever been there where the front of your shoe just falls off or it comes unglued and now you're walking around all day with just a talking shoe.
Yeah,
it's just every time you walk. It's just
a talking shoe.
But it happens, dude.
And he's got a hole in it.
Yeah, dude, the Crocs, they do that, man. Okay, so here. Are you getting on your knees and praying and trusting God? Being faithful in being faithful within the faith is like getting on your knees when times get tough. Like getting on your knees and actually praying for a resolution. Even when crap hits the fan, like knowing that God's got you. Yeah. I use that as an example. All right, lock in. If you're just calling it quits every time things... Guys, hands to ourselves. If you're calling it quits every time that things get hard in your life, then you need to be exercising your faith. You need to be exercising your Jesus muscles, okay? And then it says, and purity. Doing what you know is right, like even when no one's looking. When people aren't around, are you doing the right thing? Do you clean your room just for no reason whatsoever? Yes. I know, I can believe that, because Adeline's room, always spotless. Not everybody does that, the same thing. But are you doing the right thing when people aren't around? Like the reels you watch on your phone, this is a great example. Are the reels that you're watching on your phone, are those glorifying to God? Are the reels, is the content that you have on your phone, like, would you be bringing it to church and showing Pastor Brian? Like, if you're looking on your phone, would you just go up to Brian and be like, hey, look at all these, and just go through your reels with the pastor? You know?
I know this kid wouldn't.
Yeah, impurity, like, means, like, that you're doing these things even when no one's watching. When no one's looking at you, you're still doing what you know is right. That is what it means to be faithful, and be a faithful Christian. We said it last week, and it's the same this week. Establishing these habits, like doing the things that you know you need to be doing, reading your Bible, memorizing verses, all of that. If you're doing the things that God has for you right now at your age, while you're young, will just carry on as you get older. Doing those things now will just keep going with you as you get older. It'll make it easier to establish habits now so that when you get older in life, when God starts throwing real problems at you. Or you have an electric bill that you don't know how, you got to get it paid, but you don't have enough money. And you're like, where's this money going to come from? You got to put gas in your car. You get a flat tire on the end of the road, the side of the road. Establishing healthy habits with the things right now that you might feel are not big deals will help you as you get older. It says, be thou an example of believers. If you are a believer, you need to be an example. This is something that all of us, you guys, me alike, but all of you guys can be doing right now. With your friends, with your family, with your teammate, other church kids, other kids at church, you can be an example of believers. Just show others how deep your roots run with the actions and your faithfulness. So, again, you guys might be thinking, a lot of these are menial, small things, you know. Remember to clean my room. Like, that's not a real world problem, you know? Not being good at Fortnite is not a real world problem. Like, these are little things, you know? Not reading my Bible every day, it's not a big deal. I'm only 12, 13, 14. I'm still young. I've got plenty of time. Thinking like that, thinking that the things that you are asked to do right now are small tasks, and that you're young, and it's not too much, or that you're only so involved at church because I can only be so involved. I'm only this old. I can't go downtown and evangelize to people, you know? My question is, are you being faithful with the little things God's asking you? That's like a self-reflection. Are you being faithful with the little things? By the grins on some of your guys' faces, I can imagine that not all of you are. I've said it numerous times. You don't have to be going to the mission field. No one's asking you guys to go to Oaxaca, Mexico, or Kosovo, or to become a missionary. No one's asking you guys to do that right now. No one's asking you guys to actively take it to the streets. Some of you might have been, but no one's asking you guys to go door to door and sharing your faith with people in your neighborhood. You know, we haven't asked you guys to do things like that right now. Or to go downtown and pass out John's and Romans at, on the street. None of you guys have been asked to do anything like that. You guys have been asked to do little things right now. Read your Bible. Memory verses. We give you one. We've had one for the last couple months. Little task. Small task. Not a very big task. Something that you all can do. Inviting friends to church. Lincoln what? Invited a group of friends.
Yes, sir.
All right. They came. How many of you guys? You invited a friend. Yes. Praying at lunch. Do any of you pray at lunch?
Yes.
It's all right. Like, oh, it's not easy in school. Praying at lunch is something, that's a small task. Something all of you can do. You don't even have to make a big scene about it. You can literally just close your eyes, bow your head, and pray. Okay? What about talking about Jesus? Talking about God in just regular conversation. You're hanging out with your buddies. You're talking about whatever, video game, March Madness, how you tried to ramp your bike over this dirt pile, but you beefed it hardcore. Talking to your friend about all those things, and then you just start, you know, like, oh yeah, but also when I was at church, I learned about, you know, talking about God, even in those small moments. All these things aren't like massive tasks. Do any of those things scare you guys? Like praying at lunch, probably a little scary, but is it hard?
No.
Talking about Jesus around your friends, like, it might be a little bit nerve-wracking, but is it scary?
No. Mm-hmm.
Inviting somebody to church, to a youth event, to play paintball or any of that, is that scary? It's not really that scary. All you gotta do is ask a friend. If they're a friend, it shouldn't be a problem. So just think about that. What stops you from doing those things? What are the things that stop you from doing that? Luke 16:10 says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust is in the least is unjust also in much." He that is faithful in least is also faithful in much. So if you're faithful now with the small things, these little menial tasks, the things that you think that are little, like asking friends to church, asking friends to come to even just youth events. You don't even have to ask them to come on Sunday. Just invite them to a youth event. Inviting, you know, praying at lunch is not a big deal. If you're faithful with those little things, then if you're not faithful with those little things, then how can you expect to be faithful with the big things that God asks you to do when you get older? If you're not taking the time to deal with the little tasks now, then how are you going to be equipped and able to handle the things that God throws at you when you get older? What did we talk about last week? Several weeks ago, Chris talked about the corn, and if it's not deeply
rooted
and the wind comes, what happens?
It
blows over, okay? So, if you're not pushing these roots into the ground now, then how are you guys going to be faithful when you get older? So, whatever the place is, I challenge you guys this week to allow it to not be. Like, where's the place that it's the hardest for you guys to be faithful? Like, where do you think you guys struggle with the most? Go ahead.
School.
Can we all agree to that? The hardest place to be faithful, to live out what you do at church, to live out how you act at church, most of us can just say is school. So then my challenge to you guys this week is just to use the list that we just talked about, you know, the word with conversation, with charity, with purity, with faith, just to live out what you claim to be here on Sundays. The challenge is to live out and be faithful with what God is giving you when you go to school this week. But why should we, Mr. Nick? I even quoted my thing. Why should we, Mr. Nick? Because I assume that that's the question you guys would ask me. But you guys think that life is fine for you right now. I don't have any issues. Life for me is going good. I don't have any problems. Like, I'm doing the things that I'm doing, and my life is great. All the things that I want to be happening are happening. How do I know that I'm doing anything wrong or anything needs change? Because I'm content. I'm happy. My life is great. Well, that's awesome. That's fantastic. But life isn't always great. It isn't always going to be rainbows and butterflies, which is why we need to be doing what we are asked. We need to be
memory verse.
We need to be doing our memory verse. We need to be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving only ourselves. Because who are you fooling? When you fall into contentment, you know, everybody else around you is like, oh man, life is great for this person. But the only person that you're fooling is who?
Yourself.
Alrighty. That is all I got for today. I challenge you guys, man. You guys are going to go to school. Most of you are coming off of spring break. You have plenty of time to read your Bible. When you go to school this week, just live out these things. Do the things that God's asking you to do. The small things, even the tasks that you don't think that are that big. So we're going to pray and then we're going to get out of here.